Hey guys, this is Officer Forrest off of PassThePoliceExam.com and Police Oral Board Interview Secrets.com. Today I got John Marks on the line. John is a retired police officer who served 23 years at the Westminster Police Department in Colorado. I tell you what, John has incredible knowledge on the police oral interview. He sat on numerous boards. One of the things, John, you there?
I'm here. Go ahead.
Hey, John, one of the things that I noticed when I was reading your bio, and I tell you what, there are few individuals that I meet and walk away impressed. And I tell you what, you're one of the few.
Thank you.
I mean, your credentials is by far very, very impressive. Before I go to the different things I'm going to ask you, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? What are you doing now? How long you was a police officer, et cetera?
Sure. I was a police officer for a total of 23 years. I started right out of college. I had not intended to be a police officer. I always thought it would be kind of fun, but figured it was kind of dangerous. I wanted to be a marine biologist. That was my big goal.
Really?
And
wow.
So I was going through school, getting my degree in biology. And to put myself through school, I used to work for the university in the office of the dormitory where I lived. And I did the night shift so I could go to class during daytime. And just by doing that job, all the campus police officers would come in, and we always had a pot of coffee on. So they'd always come in and chit chat and check on me and, you know, everybody else in the other university offices that were open all night long. And they'd sit and have coffee, and I got to know them all. They became friends of mine. And they started teasing me about becoming a cop, and I said, "Ah, no, that's not what I want to do." But they invited me to go out on a ride along with them, and you know, so I started actually riding regularly with my friends, and I got a taste of what it was like. And even though that was the university police, that was at the University of Colorado in Boulder. You know, the campus is right in the middle of the city. If something was happening in the middle of the night, the campus cops would cover the city cops and vice versa. And the county sheriff's department would also be right there. So I started making friends on each of the departments and started doing ride-alongs with both the city police, the university police, and the county sheriff. And eventually I got hired as a reserve deputy for the sheriff's department. And then started testing with various departments and went with one of my buddies to the city of Westminster, which I didn't know much about at the time. It was near Boulder. It's a suburb of Denver. And happened to finish first on the exam. So when they offered me a job, it was like, hey, no problem. I'll do that.
And in college?
Say that again.
Was that right after college?
Actually, for me, it was while I was still in college because I was on the 5-year plan at the time. I couldn't make up my mind and get my coursework done. So I actually stopped going to college when I first got hired and went back later to finish my degree. But, you know, I had a great career. I did all kinds of things in my career. You know, I loved my law enforcement career. I retired at age 45, and now I run a website for cops called copsalive.com, and we can talk about that a little bit further, but one of my buddies committed suicide, and I never realized what the stats for law enforcement suicide were like until I started doing some research, and so I started writing about it online with this blog, and it's not just about suicide, but it's about law enforcement wellness in general. I think there are a lot of things we can all learn, and I'm just out there kind of being a reporter to try to bring information back to my brothers and sisters in law enforcement.
Okay. You mentioned that you tested for several departments. How many did you, you know, two or three?
You and I talked the other day. I was trying to count. I think I tested at about 5 or 6 departments.
That's a good number. That's one of the things I try to tell some of the folks that email me that, you know, don't throw your name in the pot in several different departments.
Right.
You know, test the waters, take the test, see what it's all about, so you can improve that score. You know, don't just focus on one department, but, you know, just go ahead and test for several different departments.
Right. And, you know, that was over probably a year or more. Actually, the job that I got hired for, I think that testing process took 8 months in total. So, you know, one of the agencies offered me a job and I turned it down because they did a rotating shift at that time where in 1 week you had to work day shift, graveyard shift, swing shift. I don't remember the sequence, but you had to work all three shifts in every week. And I, at that time, I was still in school.
Brutal.
Yeah, that was a little too brutal for me. And I was still taking college classes, so I didn't want to do that. I turned that one down. A couple of the others weren't hiring, even though they were testing. And, you know, a couple of them, I didn't finish high enough to get hired. And I agree with you. Testing for a law enforcement job is not something... Some people do it on the first test, great, but it is a learned skill, I think.
It is. It's definitely a learned skill. can you just I know it was how you said 23 years in law enforcement, right?
Correct.
And you've been retired for how long?
I've been retired for almost 7.
7 years, okay.
Yep.
Can you kind of let's go back 23 years now, you know? How was it, you know, going through the process? I mean, a lot of people I encounter, you know, just running the website, you know, I get emails from several different folks about how they kind of panic with the process. You know, I try to tell them this is not applying at your local McDonald's or Wendy's or anything. It's not wrong at working at Wendy's or McDonald's. It's just that the process, you know, is a lot longer and the department's going to make sure that they try to weave out the people that are not going to make good cops. You know, the last thing a local department want to do is hire some knucklehead that's going to shoot somebody without just cause. So that's why the process may be long, tedious, but it's in place to try to weave out those that will not make good police officers.
Yeah.
How did you go through the process, and how long did it take you, and what was your mind frame at that point, you know?
Well, I absolutely agree with you. I think other than maybe getting a full government security clearance, it is probably one of the most comprehensive testing processes in the country, you know, for every job. And I remember from my experience, each agency does it a little bit differently, but generally they will all have a written test. They will all have some sort of psychological test, and that may include both written psychological tests and a psychological interview. They will all have some sort of a polygraph test or something, and then they will have maybe an interview or a series of oral boards, and probably some sort of a physical agility test. And when I said that it took 8 months for the one process that I went through, you know, that was from the time we took the first written test and they weeded out the candidates. And I don't remember the sequence, but I suspect that it was probably written test first, then maybe polygraph, because it tends to weed people out. And, you know, they get down to a workable number of people, and then they put you through a oral board, and then they do psychological testing, and then they weed you down and put you through another interview. And it was a long process, and it was a very comprehensive process. And, you know, I agree with you. You need to prepare yourself mentally for going through that. And I was fortunate in that, as I said, I had a bunch of friends that were already cops. And, you know, I was getting all kinds of coaching, and I was being told what to expect. You know, I had friends on various agencies that told me what their experiences were. And I think that was invaluable. And I think everybody needs to prepare themselves in some way. And I suspect in this interview, we're going to talk about a couple of those, but you know, I think riding along and getting to know some police officers is a good start.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I always encourage, anybody that, wanting to be a police officer is I encourage them to, you know, go to some ride-alongs, you know, do it 1, 2 times or 3 times, you know, make sure that that's what you want to do, you know?
Yeah, you have to know what the job is like.
Absolutely. And another thing that I get repeated emails about, you know, Officer Forrestal, how can I make myself stand out? And, you know, do you have any advice? I always tell them, you know, do ride alongs is good. If you can, go to college. Try to do some volunteer work, you know, in the community.
Yep.
Show that you have good communication skills, you know. Make sure you don't job hop, you know, job to job to job, you know, because
right.
Consistency shows a lot about your character and your direction in life.
Yep.
I know you had the opportunity to sit on some oral boards, and you just if I'm a new candidate and I'm asking you that question, how can I stand out? You know, what would your advice to me?
Well, I agree with everything you said. I think law enforcement agencies are looking for well-rounded people. You know, they want somebody that's mature, that's able to make good decisions on their feet. And that's the reason they put you through so many different kinds of tests. They want to know that you're educated, that you're psychologically stable, that you have some idea of what the job entails, and that you are dedicated to getting that kind of a job. And I agree with your comments about standing out. I think you need to demonstrate that you have thought through this process. You have some understanding of what the job will entail. I don't think any agency anymore expects you to know how to do the job. Although I know in some states, candidates put themselves through the police academy. I didn't have to do that. But, you know, I think they want you to have some idea of what the job entails. And don't come into your interview or your testing process thinking it's just like it is on television, because that's not true. Even if you're watching reality television, it's not true.
I always tell, you know, I always preach that, you know what, it's you know, watching cops and different things like that is good, but, you know, the reality is, you know, paperwork is 90% of police work, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Paperwork and sitting around waiting for something to happen, or driving around waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if they, one of those cop shows, if they don't edit some of the footage, you realize they probably sit in that police car for, you know, 6-7 hours before anything happened, you know?
Or 6 or 7 days before they get the call that they put on television.
Yeah, absolutely, you know? And they never tell you what happened afterwards, you know.
That's right.
They had the patrol officers have to go back to the department, you know, complete the paperwork and fill out this, do that, you know. I mean, it's a process, you know.
Yeah, nobody
has... You don't just arrest somebody and be back on the street, you know, cuffing and stuffing somebody else, you know.
Right.
You got to make sure you have your paperwork done. Submit it to the prosecutor, different things like that, you know.
Well, nobody's created the reality television program entitled Police Paperwork, because nobody would watch. I mean, it's just boring and it's tedious. And, you know, one of the things you have to do in preparing yourself for the job is, you know, they want to know that you have writing skills. They want to know that you know, read well. That you're articulate, because you have to be able to articulate your thoughts on paper and verbally when you have to go to court. So,
right.
You know, it does take some preparation, and I don't think you have to go to college, but I think it really helps.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, John, I'm going to put your feet to the fire now, you know.
All right. I
spoke to you the other day about the interview board, and you sat on the board on several occasions, and you saw the goods, you saw the bad, you know.
Yep.
You saw some applicants come in, and you knew right off the bat, you know, this person is squared away, you know.
Right.
Do you have some insight to people that's listening right now? What should they do, you know, the minute they walk into that oral board interview? The do's and don'ts of how to properly, put themselves out there and really wow the board.
Yeah. I think that's an excellent question. And, you know, other than the coaching that I got from friends, you know, if I had just gone into that blind, I wouldn't have been prepared. I think you need to show that you're a confident and mature individual and that you're articulate.
Right.
But
absolutely.
You have to be careful about going too far, because if you come across as cocky or overconfident, you're going to turn people off.
that's the thing I try to tell people. You know, police officers on that board are master body language readers.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
They could absolutely tell when you're afraid. They can tell when you're timid. They also can tell when you exude confidence, you know. Mm-hmm. So preparation will give you confidence. So when you go in there, you know, make sure that your head is held high. You articulate everything you're going to say. You know, that's why I always tell people to prepare.
Yep.
And you know?
Practice. I mean, you really should practice.
Absolutely.
With your, I mean, you can get some sample questions. You can have your friends or family run you through the hoops, through the paces.
Well, how many people was it on the board? Was it, you know, normally?
Usually, I mean, I guess it depends on what it was for, but usually a hiring board, in my experience, would be at least three people and probably five.
Right.
Is that what you found?
Mm-hmm,
yeah, because usually you get a couple of people from the law enforcement agency, but you probably also get somebody from their human resources department.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you might even get somebody from the community.
Okay.
And, you know, they want you to come in. And I think the term I like is self-assured. They want you to be confident. I think it's important to look people in the eye and shake hands with them, even if you have to go, you know, out of your way around the table or whatever to say, hi, I'm John Marks, pleased to meet you. It just helps bridge that gap of formality that you're going to be facing. Every interview that I've ever experienced or had been part of had some sort of a stress section in it where you, either as the candidate, you're under stress, or we put the candidate under a little bit of stress. And sometimes that's just with a lot of information. Sometimes it's the description of the scenario puts them into stress. And sometimes it's the demeanor of the people asking the questions. They will intentionally put you into a stressful situation just to see how you're going to react. And that confidence or that self-assurance, even if you don't know the exact answer, even if you're not sure where the question is going.
Right.
That's where they're watching your body language. That's where they're kind of reading how you deal with stress. And that's part of the test as well.
When I took my interview board at my department I'm at right now, I mean, it was pretty hard to read on you know, if I was doing good or not, you know, because everybody had the same facial expression.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I answered it right or not, you know. So when I walked out of there, I wasn't quite sure where I was at.
Yep.
You know, so don't try. That's what I try to tell people. Don't try to read the board, because they're not. They're trained to just, you know, not show any facial expression. You know.
Yep.
They're just worried about trying to score you. You know.
Right. Well, that's the other thing. I mean, I've sat on the other side of the table, and sometimes there are so many things going through my mind trying to take notes and document, you know, not only the person's answers, but, you know, their behavior, their demeanor, little cues that we're picking up, that sometimes it was actually hard to be, you know, engaged with the person on the other side of the table. And that didn't mean that I didn't care or wasn't interested, but they have a job to do as well. And
right.
They are probably going to be looking at different, you know, 10, 15 candidates a day, maybe. Or I don't know, depends on the interview, but they may be looking at a bunch of people in one day, and they may have several days to do that. And, you know, they can't get to know everybody personally. They've got a job to do.
Okay, good. Now, I got another question for you. Okay, what's the number one mistake that you think candidates should avoid when they're walking into that interview board interview?
Well, I think that would go along the lines of what we've just been talking about. I think the thing that was most glaringly obvious to me when I was sitting on hiring oral boards, or even, you know, selection boards within the department for special teams or special jobs, the worst thing you could do is come in unprepared. And if you're, you know, applying for a job, this is your first law enforcement job, or even if you're changing departments, if you come in and you're overconfident but underprepared, you don't know anything about the community, you don't know anything about the job, you don't know anything about the process, that's going to show up pretty quickly in the interview and or even the testing process, depends on which phase you're in. But I think that'll show up pretty quickly, and that is a big red flag, because to me it tells me the candidate isn't interested in the job, they're interested in a job. And I don't think anybody wants to see that. I think people want you to be going for that very specific job, and they want to know that you put some effort into it and that, you know, you're willing to work for it.
Okay, good. That's I absolutely agree with that, you know. You want to make sure that, I always tell people that, hey, you want to go on the website and find out how to pronounce the chief's name, the supervisors, shift commanders and different higher ups.
Yep.
So you know the history of the department too, you know?
Yep.
Because if you just show up looking just for a job, people is definitely going to know that.
Well, most people are applying for a job in the community they live in or near the community where they live, and you really ought to be up to date on current events and know what's going on in the news having to do with that department. But even if you were applying for an agency that was across the country, you know, you started your application on the internet, you really ought to be on their website and on their community newspaper website or TV channel news website, figuring out what the police agency is up to. You know, do they have a good relationship with the community? Are they at odds with their community? You know, what kind of programs do they offer for the community? And you really ought to have a feel for what that job you're asking them to give you is all about, and you know, okay, what's going to be expected of you.
Okay. Okay. Now, I know you have some stories of, you know, an applicant walking in and doing something that you knew, you know, that just turned you off, you know. I know someone did something that you knew, this guy is not going to make it, you know. Can you kind of give us an example of that?
Yeah, and you're right, there are probably a bunch. I think I started to say something about the way you were dressed earlier, and I don't think I actually got to it, but
okay.
You know, part of applying for a job, this is a professional position. You want to be professional looking, and you want to act in a professional manner as you're applying for this position. And one of the first things that I've noticed is some people really don't know how to dress, and some people come in dressed way too casually for this kind of a selection process. So I would certainly tell people to start off with, you know, along with that air of confidence that you're going to have, you want to look the part, you want to be dressed well. I don't care if you have to go rent a suit or borrow a suit. And that's true for men and women. You need to be dressed in business professional attire. And that for men is a suit and tie. For ladies is some sort of a suit. And I don't know that it matters whether it's a pantsuit or a dress, but nonetheless, it needs to be professional and not super flashy. I've seen some people that dressed way too flamboyantly for their interview for the kind of job they're applying for. I mean, there's a reason cops wear uniforms. We're all supposed to sort of look alike and be one face to the community. And when you come in with a bright orange blazer and, you know, really wild clothes, that says, you know, look at me. And that's not what the board is looking for. They want somebody that is, you know, professional, discreet, and not going overboard. And that may be your normal personality, but that's not the place to exhibit it. And along that same line, you know, this is a professional business interview. Stunts and tricks and gimmicks aren't going to help you. You need to prepare for the job. You need to do a little bit of studying. You need to be in good physical shape. You know, there's a lot of things that you can spend your time doing, but trying to trick or you know, bring some sort of gimmick into the interview, is not going to make you stand out in a positive way. They'll remember you at the end of the day, but they'll remember you as they scratch your name off, probably.
Exactly. You mentioned about staying in good physical fitness, and I always tell people it's not hard to run a couple of days a week, you know, to prepare for the exam, you know.
Yep.
You don't want to show up, you know, at the physical fitness site, you know, grossly out of shape, you know.
Yep.
Not only, you know, the physical appearance, you know, because normally cops are the one that's running the facility, and they're the one that's conducting the test.
Right.
And, you know, don't just think because that's regular patrolmen, they don't have, you know, a say-so, you know, because they have, that's how they have friends within the ranks. They say, hey, this guy is just, you know, I wouldn't want him backing me up, you know.
Yep.
It shouldn't take somebody, you know, two or three days a week, you know, just running, doing some sprints, or, you know, jogging on a treadmill, going out to the park and doing something to get in shape. You know, how did you prepare for the agility test?
I think that's an excellent question. You know, I have never been in outstanding shape my entire life. I've always had to struggle at, you know, staying in good shape. And I was just talking to some other cop friends about that today. I'm in my 50s now, and it's getting even harder for me to stay in the kind of shape that I want to be in. And I've got nothing to brag about. I always considered myself pretty average, but I had to work at being average. And, you know, I remember at the time I was being coached by friends, and I was a runner when I was younger. That didn't last all of my life because I just sort of wore my body out. But I used to run, and I would lift weights. And I think people that are in good physical condition, you know, are just naturals for the job. If that's not you, then, and you really want this kind of a job, you really need to work a little bit harder. And that may mean joining a gym or getting a personal trainer or putting yourself through some sort of an exercise or physical fitness program on a regular basis. And, you know, running is going to be part of the police academy and part of your career probably. So you at least ought to start out as a runner and get used to doing that. But I remember that I just sort of had to go out of my way a little bit to do a little extra running and a little bit of extra strength training to be where I was. Because one of the agencies that I tested with went through a full battery of physical agility tests. Each of them was different, but this one had a carrying a body up a ladder and down a ladder and a body drag over the wall and around the track. And you had to put the barrel of your revolver at that time through a 4-inch ring. And after you'd been running, you had to be able to keep that barrel steady enough that it didn't shake all over and touch the sides of the ring. So I don't have a clue what they're doing these days, but, you know, every agency is different and you need to find out what they're going to be testing you on and prepare yourself.
Absolutely right. Okay, John, we talked about the interview board. We talked about the agility test. Let's kind of fast forward here to the polygraph test. Polygraph test, I always tell people, hey, you know, let's just be completely honest. I don't care how embarrassing the situation might be, you know, just be completely honest, you know. Don't try to stall and try to beat the poly. Another thing is I Googled online, you know, just doing my research, and there's so many different companies out there specialize and try to teach people how to beat the polygraph test.
Yeah, you're not going to beat the polygraph test.
Hey, you know, police officers are reading these things. They're getting trained to find out if you're going through these courses, you know. Don't try to beat the polygraph. If that's your intention, is to beat the polygraph, you're probably in the wrong line of work. You know?
Yeah, I was going to say, if that's what you're after, you're going the wrong place.
Yeah. That's what you want to do, you know. You might as well just X yourself out, you know. Yeah. So, now I'm going to ask you, and your experience with the polygraph, you know, did you have to prepare? What was the environment once you got in there with the examiner?
polygraphs, I mean, can be kind of stressful. And I think the point that people need to understand is this is a test you can look at as an integrity test. It's an honesty test. Everybody's got something embarrassing in their lives that they wish they hadn't done or whatever. And they don't honestly care about that unless it was, you know, some major felony crime, which for most people it wasn't. But, I'm always amazed at the police applicants that get washed out because of some of the things they've done. But most people that apply for a law enforcement job don't have that. What they want to know is that you're going to be honest. So the first part of a polygraph test is you go in and the examiner will go through a whole series of questions and things for you while you're not hooked up to the polygraph so that they can establish some sort of baseline. They want to find out about all those things up front so that there's no reason why you would show as deceptive on the exam. And once they've asked you over and over again, is there anything else? Is there anything that makes you nervous or you're worried about? Anything that's embarrassing? Let's get it onto the, you know, onto the table. Then they go through the test, and what the test shows is whether you're answering truthfully. And a good polygraph examiner will narrow their questions to the point where they can be pretty certain that what you're saying is, you know, black or white, either being truthful or being deceptive about the question they're asking. And, you know, every agency also is different about what kind of questions they're going to ask, but they want to know about your integrity, about whether you've committed any crimes in your past, whether you, you know, have lied or been deceptive on any of the information in your application and things. But once they've established the baseline, it's easy to pass a polygraph. You just have to be honest. But right. If there's something in your psychology that's nagging at the back of your mind, you know, you're going to come up as deceptive on that test. And a good examiner will help you work through that. But, you know, you've got to be completely upfront and completely honest to begin with.
Exactly. That's the only way to pass the polygraph test is to be honest. That's what I always say. Just be straight. Just be straightforward, be honest. Even if something pops up in your head, you need to tell the examiner, can you, you know, this happened this way. I mean, can you ask me the question differently, or is that going to hurt me? You need to just go ahead and tell the examiner everything.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not trying to freak people out. I can't speak for everybody, but, you know, most of the time they're not going to ask wild questions about, you know, things that you've done that have been embarrassing. But obviously you're putting yourself out there as being a representative of the community good, and you're going to represent the police agency, the uniform and the badge that you're going to wear. They want to know that you're a person of high integrity and good character and appropriate morals, and you know that you're an honest and truthful person. That's what they're testing for. And if you don't fit those categories, then law enforcement may not be the career for you. But I was going to say earlier when we were talking about the physical fitness part, you know, there cops come in all shapes and sizes, all heights and genders and colors. You know, I've met fat cops and skinny cops and tall cops and short cops, and you know, anybody who wants the job badly enough can get it. But obviously what they're testing for is a person of really good character and really good shape and really intelligent and, you know, able to do the job. But, you know, the job is available to everybody. And partly what you're doing in the testing process is proving how much and how badly you really want that job.
Exactly. I tell people to stay the course, you know.
Yeah.
If you want it bad enough, that's something that you can obtain, you know. You know, like when I played college football, and one of my goals was to make it to the NFL, you know, to play professional football.
Wow.
And that goal is not obtainable for everybody.
No, you know? There are a whole lot more cops in the world than there are NFL football players.
Exactly. So, you know, so I had to put all my energy, I mean, my motivation towards trying to be a cop, you know, instead of trying to obtain a dream that, you know, I really couldn't, you know, obtain based on my physical skills.
Yep.
But police officer, like you said, you know, if you want it bad enough, you know, you'll get the job, you know, but you have to stay the course.
There are all kinds of police agencies. I know, a lot of people that they try to go to the biggest, busiest department that probably gets the most applicants and has the most rigorous testing on their first go round, and oftentimes they get shot down just by sheer numbers. And I've had plenty of friends. I was an Explorer Post advisor for a long time. I was a reserve deputy before I got hired for my first full-time job. You know, I earned my way in, and I told a lot of my explorers, you know, sometimes you got to work your way up. And if you don't get the first job, then you test for another one. And if you don't get a job on the big department, maybe you start at a smaller department where there aren't as many candidates applying for the jobs, and you'll score better. I mean, there's a lot of ways to really prove yourself, and you know, you can always change jobs and agencies.
Get some experience, you know, you can always get some experience and then jump ship to another agency, you know.
I wouldn't recommend doing it too many times, but it does work.
Yeah. Now, John, I wanted to talk to you about a little bit about the psych test, you know. I don't know how many you took, but I took quite a few, you know.
Yep.
And it seems like sometimes that's the big hang-up on people, you know.
Yeah.
That they make it through the process, you know, and then they get to the psych evaluation, that's when they get canceled out, you know.
Right.
I know, how many have you taken? You know,
I don't honestly remember, but I remember there were a variety of them. Like I said earlier, sometimes it's a written psych test, sometimes it's an interview, a lot of times it's both. I remember one of the agencies I tested for used the MMPI, which I think is still the big Bertha of law enforcement psych tests. And if I remember right, it was like 1,400 questions, and it took hours to take that one. And I am not one to tell people how to pass that. You know, you either have it or you don't. But I think the thing that they need to know is not to sweat it and not to try to second guess it. These tests were created by professionals with a very clear pathway in mind, and it isn't something that you can try to second guess or, you know, work your way through. And I found that most people I've heard that didn't pass, they were trying to outthink the test, and that's not what it's for. You just want to go in and answer the questions.
Right.
So that's obviously a written test.
Same as the polygraph, you know, just be completely honest.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
You can't try to beat the psych test. You know, it's not designed for you to beat it. You know, you need to be honest.
Right.
Because, you know, that's probably like, it's interestingly enough, they'll find out if you're lying, because they reword the same question maybe 10 times.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's what people need to be prepared for, is it's such a redundant test that you'll get the same questions over and over and over again, asked differently and asked with different examples. And, you know, they're looking for patterns. And if you're trying to overthink it, you're going to mess yourself up.
Right. Absolutely. Now, let me jump into something else right now. You know, you mentioned that you're doing Cops Alive.
Yep.
Can you kind of give me, you know, what's that all about, and what inspired you? I know you mentioned about your buddy got committed suicide. That was one of those things that, you know, can you kind of give us more on that?
That was kind of an eye-opener for me. I think the thing that hit me most was, you know, maybe somebody had talked to me in my career at some point, maybe in the police academy, maybe in some training class, about law enforcement suicide. But if they did, it didn't sink into me. But the statistics right now are that somewhere between 4 and 6 times more police officers take their own lives than are murdered in the line of duty. And that's murdered. There are plenty of cops that die in the line of duty, that die by auto accident or some sort of an accidental death. It's still a horrible tragedy, but it's not like they've been feloniously murdered by some bad guy. And what kind of opened my eyes there was that, you know, I don't know that I really was prepared for what I'm calling now the hidden dangers of law enforcement. You know, if you do a threat assessment, most of our training is all about dealing with the bad guy. You know, it's about wrestling with the bad guy and handcuffing the bad guy and shooting the bad guy or not being shot by the bad guy. And it's all about self-defense and combat. And believe me, I think all of that training is very appropriate and outstanding. But it doesn't necessarily prepare you for all the threats that might face you in your career. And as a population, cops have a really high rate of suicide, of alcoholism, of divorce. I'm doing some of my own research. I suspect that we probably have a higher rate of bankruptcy than other populations. We seem to have a higher rate of depression. We have a higher rate of domestic violence.
Absolutely.
When you and I talked the other day, I love the example of the bucket. You know, you're carrying around a bucket and you collect all this stuff as you go through your life. And most average people collect a fair amount of stuff. But cops not only collect their own, they collect everybody else's. And you see some horrible things. You see the worst things that happen in the world. And there aren't easy answers for those. And unless you have a way to process it, you know, your bucket starts to overflow and it splashes all over everybody in your life and all over you. So I think that there are some wellness issues that every police officer needs to be aware of. They need to have their eyes open to these things. And it's about planning your life and planning your relationships and planning for recreation and fun and planning your finances and planning your career. It's the same as, you know, we can respond to a bank robbery and set ourselves up tactically to take out the bad guys. But if you present somebody a picture of their own life, they don't ever think about tactically how they're going to make it through their life. And I just think cops, particularly young officers, when they're just getting started on the job, need to be aware that this career has a toll that it'll take on you. And you're the only one that can look out for those dangers. And you're the only one that can take responsibility for, putting up that bulletproof vest, if you will, between you and some of these other dangers. And, there are plenty of resources for you out there, both at your agency and in your community. But if you're not even looking for them to begin with, if you're completely blind to the effects that law enforcement might have on you, then you might be one of those statistics. And what I'm trying to do with Cops Alive is just sort of say, hey, you know, we don't deserve to die early and we don't deserve to have miserable lives. I think anybody dedicating themselves to law enforcement deserves to live happily ever after. But it takes a little bit of work to get to that point because the job will take its toll on you if you don't watch it.
Well, I really like that example you mentioned about the bucket, you know, because, you know, I just right now I'm thinking several different things that happened to me that I've encountered, you know, different molest case, you know, different things that, you know, it's pretty gruesome. And, you know, you really need like a, you know, support system or and to express that to somebody, that way you'll have it out instead of just having it inside of you year in and year out, you know, not allowing it to express, you know.
Right. You know, cops are famous for being tough and manning up, or in some cases, I guess, womaning up. But, you know, that macho attitude doesn't serve us well. We've got to have an outlet because it's not just about being tough. You know, we really do see so many horrible things, so many tragedies, so many things that are the worst of society, and there isn't a good mechanism to deal with them unless you actually go out and find it or make it happen. And, you know, I think agencies are getting better and better about instituting peer support and having employee assistance programs and things that will help cops if they ask for it. But there's still this big fear that if you show any weakness, then you're not going to be fit for duty and you're going to lose your job. And I think that's an issue we as a profession have to deal with.
Oh, cool. Now, John, I'm about to end this interview now, but I wanted to ask you about Pass the Police Exam, the manual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that I was wanting to do is try to find somebody that was completely unbiased, somebody that I did not know that could review the book that I wrote for fellow recruits, candidates, applicants, that would help them in the process. And the interesting way that I found you was through online, and I kind of saw what you was doing, and that piqued my interest, and I kind of got a hold of you and asked you to review my book, you mm-hmm. know, and which you did. Now, can your opinion? I didn't know you from Adam before then.
That's right. We still haven't met.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like I've known you forever, you know.
I agree. That's the good thing about law enforcement. It is a fraternity of people that, you know, doesn't matter where you're from, and I've traveled all over the world, you know, we will look after each other and take care of each other. And
that's one thing about police work.
I felt that. So my comments, you know, I didn't have anything like that when I was testing, and the written part of the test was one thing that, you know, my friends could tell me about, but you know, there wasn't any way for me to prepare. I was really impressed with the work you put together, because it was obvious that you had actually done your homework, and it wasn't just one or two agencies. You'd gotten information from a multitude of agencies on how they do their testing processes. And it may or may not be something that people can study for, but it gives them the structure on how to study and how to think about, you know, what do I need to study and how do I need to prepare myself to answer these kind of written questions. And I was really impressed with what you put together, and I wished that I would have had something like that when I was testing, and I would certainly recommend it to people who are just getting into just starting to think about a law enforcement career.
Okay. Well, John, I think that's it, you know. I think we covered everything.
We covered a lot. I appreciate it.
So I appreciate it, you know. I know you have to go eat supper, so I definitely appreciate your cooperation and, you know, just doing this.